Dr. Brendan Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's December 13th, 2016. Mm-hmm. A wonderful Tuesday. It's nice and crisp outside. Well, at least it is early this morning.
Early this morning, but it's going to get warmer. The sun's going to come out, it's going to get warmer today.
Yeah.
Last week was too much. It was too cold. Who's our friend in New Jersey?
I don't know, but it's funny when you say it's too cold.
No, it was like in the 50s. Jeez.
Well, today, this week, we're kind of reminiscing.
Right.
Of sorts. We're kind of revisiting some of the issues that we've talked about over the past several weeks. And today we're going to talk about technology. Because when I was looking back at what we talked about last week with technology, mm-hmm. one of the things that we really failed to talk about are the benefits of technology. We kind of right. touched on it here and there, but mm-hmm. But there's, you know, there's some really important
it's interesting you
benefits
should say that.
Of technology.
I had a person write to me, send me a text about the podcast last week, and in it she said, "What about the benefit? Mm-hmm. Are there any benefits to technology?" And she said, when she was younger, she was a woman. She's retired now. I think she's in her 70s, she said. And she said that when she read books, mm-hmm. Paper books, that there was an emotional mm-hmm. component, a social and emotional component to it. And are today's children having the same kinds of experiences awesome. With yeah. technology? And it is possible,
right?
But it's a topic that you don't hear much about.
Absolutely.
You know? But it is there. So,
right.
And I responded to her that, oh, yes, there is. Mm-hmm. But that's what today's topic is going to be about.
Right. And we've talked before on previous podcasts some time ago about some of the research done on looking at people who play video games and their hand-eye coordination, and the right. fact that, you know, there was some research done by a physician, I think out of the Orlando area, actually, who was looking at
yes.
the skills, skilled surgeon
right.
and skilled surgery mm-hmm. with people who, before and after they played video games, mm-hmm. and they found that surgeons who actually play video games just before going into surgery actually do a little bit better.
Their coordination was better.
Their right. coordination better. They're more precise with their decisions and with their, again, that hand-eye coordination, especially since so much of that is getting to be on screen with the right. endoscopic types of surgery techniques.
And robotic, so, you know,
right.
where the robot steadies the hand. Talk to a surgeon about that. And he really likes those mm-hmm. robotic surgeries because while he's controlling it, it takes away the imperceptible tremor.
Right.
You don't see the tremor,
yeah.
but it's there. And he said yeah. it takes that away.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He was very enthused about it when they were testing that equipment.
Yeah, it's pretty, it is very exciting. Mm-hmm. But today, when I was looking for just some new up-to-date information.
Right.
And I actually came across something, and I say up-to-date, but this was an article, or actually it was a videoed mm-hmm. interview that was posted on Medline or Medscape a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And it was an interview that the editor-in-chief of Medscape, his name is Eric Topol, mm-hmm. who interviewed a neuroscientist named Adam Gazzaley. And he is a MD, PhD, he's a neurologist and a clinical neurosurgeon from University of California, San Francisco.
Right.
And what was fascinating about this is the title of the interview that says, "Using Video Games Instead of Drugs for Mental Health." Now, we've talked before about right. video games and sort of the claims that some programming companies and production companies make as it relates to what their video games can do, as it relates to neuroplasticity and those kinds of things, like Lumosity. We've right. talked about a few of these before.
Right. The commercial efforts.
Right, right,
to,
right, right.
Increase brain activity.
Right. Right. But what was fascinating about this is, you know, this is a neurological specialist and a right. neurospecialist who's actually talking about the research that they're doing with it. So it's not like, you know, one of the criticisms, I think, of Lumosity and some of those others is that they say that, oh, it's backed by neuroscience. It was developed by neuroscientists and things like that.
Right.
But when you kind of get in there and look,
but
they were only sort of peripherally right. involved in...
That's a yes, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is loosely based on neurology
right.
and findings from the neurosciences, but loosely based on that.
Right, right. So, but what this guy's doing is he's actually doing the research.
He's doing pretty solid research.
Yeah, right. he's building these programs, he's building these games, and he's actually testing them through clinical trials
right.
to look and see what benefit they're having with different populations, such as those with autism, those with Alzheimer's, and those with depression. And because I think it's a fascinating trend that's happening right now, especially in the field of neurology, which in many ways makes sense, that they're moving away from the idea of just focusing on neurotransmitters. And they're talking about the way in which the brain itself is functioning.
Right. Yeah, it's a shift from neurochemistry to neuroanatomy
right.
and functional
right.
neurophysiology. Because for the search has always been for smart drugs that will target a specific neurotransmitter system.
Right.
But the neurotransmitter systems in our brain are so complicated
right.
that research is taking much, much longer than people had anticipated. But we do know that the brain has these neural networks.
Right.
And we can manipulate and exercise and develop these neural networks.
Right.
And that's what these the whole concept of neuroplasticity that
right.
we hear so much about and neurofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
Biofeedback. That's what those are targeting neural networks, clusters of neurons that have a specific function.
Right. And they're looking at, and again, through their research, they're looking at, okay, how does the brain and behavior change,
right.
you know, through the use of these devices and in these games and these programs. And it's really fascinating stuff. I mean, they've
right.
already got one game out that he feels is very... That their research is showing is very, very helpful. They're backed by some pretty good, you know, as it relates to, this is
right.
for the gamers out there, they have some really good backing by producers and developers so that it looks good. Like Lucas, someone from LucasArts is involved.
Right.
So you know that it's going to look good. So it's going to be exciting and enticing and engaging and all the things that gamers like about video games. So it's not going to be, you know, that's
right.
that happens sometimes. They're so, sometimes the games are so choppy and they're
right.
basic and they're, you know, very rudimentary.
Well, they're meant to be fun, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's they're meant to be entertainment.
Right.
right.
Well, these are, you know, the ones that supposedly help with all these different things. It's not, you know, the ones that have classically been developed to
right.
look at some of these neuro pathways and to try to help with
mm-hmm.
plasticity and everything, they were not as engaging of games. They weren't as interactive.
Right.
They weren't as
right. they're not that much fun to play.
They were somewhat repetitive,
right.
mm-hmm. and those weren't as much fun. Yeah,
right.
What this guy's doing, they're really working to add to that.
Right. Yeah, they're going to have to do both because the whole idea of exercising your brain is a good one. I mean, we know from autopsies of Japanese writers, for example,
mm-hmm.
they had a bigger the area of the brain that we use for writing happened to be bigger in writers. London cabbies,
right?
London cabbies are not allowed to use GPS or maps; they have to memorize the city streets.
It's confusing,
and they have to. Oh, you were there. That's right. And so you were with. And those London cabbies periodically get tests. They're tested to make sure that they still know. And even at the construction sites,
right.
you know, what construction is going on. And autopsy studies of London cabbies show that their visual memory system,
mm-hmm.
that part of their brain is bigger. So we know that exercising the brain, using it over and over and over again, will build bigger and stronger neural networks.
Right. And so. and this was our criticism of Lumosity, is that
right.
because what you're saying is exactly right. It those areas are bigger. So practice and rehearsal of those
right.
specific skills increase and improve those specific
those
skills.
Specific
it's
skills.
Not generalized. It's
right.
not.
It's not going to make you smarter.
Right.
You know,
and so what this guy's research is doing is they're working to find a way to focus it specifically on the areas
right.
that are deficit for different conditions,
that's
whether
right.
it's, again, depression or
ADHD,
Alzheimer's,
memory,
and
right.
autism and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So it's a really good, interesting work. And hopefully it'll be in combination with some of the other research that's coming out now where, you know, there was another article where some neuroimaging studies
right.
have identified biotypes
mm-hmm.
of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we emphasizing biotype as opposed to phenotype. You know, the way that it presents, phenotype is the physical presentation, what we see with depression. And so we see those who, you know, we can see them when they're depressed. We know what they look like when they're depressed. They have those typical features of somebody who's depressed, crying, not moving too much, wanting to stay in bed, those kinds of things. When we're thinking about biotypes, what we're looking at is what's happening in the brain that differentiates this person with depression from this person with depression. And,
right.
And why, maybe that's going to get down to why one medication may work with one person but not work with somebody else. And it's because their biotype is different. And so as all of this technology gets more and more refined and more specific at being able to identify and differentiate some of these things, as we get more and more technology that's able to treat and manipulate the brain in a healthy way that's going to make it where it's functioning and working and making the improvements that we want it to make, we're going to enter a new world of mental health treatment.
Right. I think what we're going to do is get subclasses of these various disorders, that we're going to have a much better understanding of types.
Right.
ADHD is a good example of, you know, we've typically thought of three types of ADHD, well, actually two types, because there's a combined type. But I think we're going to get more than that. And
right.
I think that's why the medication doesn't always work, because there are types that
right.
perhaps have even not yet been discovered, or at least articulated and explained sufficiently.
Right.
So, this whole idea of exercising the brain is extremely promising.
Right.
It's really an exciting area of research, and hopefully that research will continue.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to solve some of the problems we've been bumping up against in the last 20 or 30 years.
Absolutely. So we'll have links to the
yeah,
to those pages on the show in the show notes, but it's exciting stuff. So there are lots of benefits to technology. Technology is going to well, it sounds silly to say, but technology is certainly going to be what's taking us into the next round of and deepen our appreciation of all of these things, whether it's mental health, physical health, learning, all of that stuff is going to be, we're going to learn so much more as technology continues to progress. So we can't be
stay
too,
with us.
Too
we'll keep talking
on,
about it.
Can't be too hard on.
No.
On
don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know,
right.
There's a lot of technology, a lot about technology that none of us like,
right.
But there are huge benefits.
Right.
And so we want to keep the benefits and tolerate the rest.
Yeah. Keep the benefits, minimize the risks.
Right.
So that's what our goal is. So, all right. Well, that's it for this
Tuesday,
wonderful day.
Right?
Yep. Tuesday. We'll see you back tomorrow morning for another episode of the Mental Breakdown Morning Show. All right?
Good day.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.